This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day as it's time now for Rangers baseball with Jared Sandler, a proper round tripper coming up later on this hour. We just had Marcus Semien on back at 3:20. It was great to hear from him, an absolute legend, possibly a future Hall of Famer. I was talking to him about that during the interview, and of course, he shied away from those sort of conversations, but he's on pace. He's, you know, because he had a bit of a later start, he'd have to be really good through his mid-30s. And maybe what we've seen so far this month is evidence that that's about to happen. I think his OPS 971 for the month as Jared Sandler joins us now, brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing.
He's in the building!
How the hell are you, Sands?
I'm great. You guys talking about Marcus?
Yeah, we were talking Marcus Semien, Hall of Fame candidacy and chances. How would you weigh in on it?
I lost you guys for a second there. I'm sorry. What'd you ask?
Yeah, we were talking like Marcus Semien, Hall of Fame candidacy at this point in his career. And I was making the point, I think he's on track if he can have two or three more years like the one he's currently having or that he's had.
Yeah, I sorry, Gavin, it broke up again. You're asking about what the next few years could look like if he continues and sort of shows a turnaround. I'm sorry.
Yeah, would he be a Hall of Famer? If he can put together a couple of years like he did in 2023,
if he puts together a couple more 2023 type years, then I think given that he'd probably end up being considered a second baseman, it would be possible. Yeah, I mean, I think that at minimum it could be a conversation, but he'd have to have a couple of years much like 2023. Like that's got to be the baseline, I think, for that to be. Now, the counting stats for Marcus, to whatever degree we look at that, it seems like people these days aren't as interested in counting stats if they deem it to be, more volume-based. But, he'll likely end up with 2,000 hits. Can he get to 2,500? Can he get to 350 home runs? You know, those things, they don't seem super likely from the home run standpoint, but I guess it's possible. I think maybe what would help is another gold glove or, gosh, if he could get two more, just all the things like that. The things when you go to someone's Wikipedia page or baseball reference page, the things that stand out, I think, will help him. But, yeah, he'd have to have multiple years like 2023, I think, to be a part of that conversation.
Jared Sandler here with you on The Fan. Course, the breaking news right at the top of our show today with Bradford, Cody Bradford being out now with elbow surgery. What else do you know about this, Sands?
Well, yeah, just that. We'll find out more tomorrow. I guess, the surgery will be tomorrow, and Keith Meister is going to perform it. At that point, we'll determine whether it's just going to be a straight Tommy John or the internal brace procedure, which is a little newer, something that, we've heard about now for the last few years. And the recovery for the internal brace is not as long. It still would knock him out for all of this year and the beginning of next year. But, Tommy John would knock him out, gosh, probably for, all of this year and most of next year, if not all of it, depending on, if there are any setbacks in the recovery.
So there's a brace? So there's a brace and a Tommy John or both, and he might get through this with just a brace?
I think it's one or the other. I think it's either Tommy John or the internal brace procedure. Both of them would knock him out for the rest of this year, and the internal brace procedure would probably allow him to pitch in 2026, maybe a month, 2 months, 3 months. I think we'll know more tomorrow. If it's Tommy John, then my guess is it would knock him out for – if not all of next year, certainly close to it.
Man, fingers crossed. That's tough. So I guess it's just, confirmation. We're going to have to rely on Rocker and Leiter a little bit more.
Yeah, and, hopefully John Gray and gosh, Jacob Latz, they clearly have been fast tracking him to stretch him out and become a starter. You know, Jacob Lats, a few weeks ago when he started, it was a bullpen game, but now we're looking at him as a starting pitcher. So, but Rocker, Leiter, the return of John Gray, hopefully Tyler Mahle can get healthy. Although I don't know that there's a, that's imminent. So that's all hands on deck. And then obviously if the Rangers were to, take on the role of buyers of the deadline, then, you know, perhaps they could look at an arm to help supplement.
When we talked with Marcus, he was stressing, hey, him and Corey need to just get hot at the right time. And then this team's got a shot here offensively. Charlie Morton, I mean, Jared, I'm looking at this. I know you're not going to say it. If they can't find a way to tee off Charlie Morton tonight, I'm losing a lot of hope.
Well, Zach, I mean, we've had a few pitchers where, like, you know, we've had, whether it's been verbalized or not, that's been the feeling. Charlie Morton's been Jekyll and Hyde. He got off to an awful start this season. So the one thing, I imagine you're looking at season numbers. If you go back to late April, you know, where the last 2 months, essentially, Charlie Morton's had an ERA right around 3.30. So the last 2 months, he's actually been a really good pitcher. Now, some of that's come as a reliever. He's only been back in the rotation consistently for the last month, but you know, he's coming off, back-to-back starts when she allowed one run over 11 innings. So I hear you, and the numbers don't look great this year. He has been better, and not just for two starts, right? So the last 2 months, he's been a lot better. But, yeah, I mean, Zach, here's the thing. We can, you know, Charlie Morton, Charlie Brown, Charlie anyone, we thought going into the year that this was a lineup that was immune to that. Not that they wouldn't have nights where they got shut down, and not that they wouldn't have nights where, you know, some guy you don't expect to shut them down would shut them down. All lineups have that. But this was not a lineup going into the year where we were like, okay, well, it's this pitcher, so they got a good chance, right? The thought was, this is a lineup that's going to be able to compete every single night, and it just hasn't been the case. So, you know, hopefully they can get the job done against Charlie Morton. Like I said, he has been better of late, but, here's the reality. The time is now for this team because, as we talked about, the trade deadline's approaching. They do have time, but if you're going to convince ownership, if you're going to convince the front office to be buyers, you got to start showing something, and you can't keep stalling out when it looks like you're about to get going. Now, if the Rangers, I'll say this, if the Rangers win the next two and they win another series, it's a totally different feeling. We're kind of riding low because yesterday's game was such a dud, sure. Right? Yesterday's game was really, really disappointing. But if they win tonight and they win tomorrow, a little bit of a different feeling, but they got to get the job done.
Hey, Jared, I was going to ask you, Charlie Morton being a veteran pitcher, though, how often do we see a guy that's predominantly a curveball pitcher or uses the curveball as much as he does? It always seems like four-seam sinkers, cutters, sliders. Do a lot more pitchers, are we still seeing curveball pitchers in baseball?
Not as much. And you mentioned the slider. If there's a pitcher who leans on a breaking ball more than any other pitch, it's typically the slider. I guess there's some pitchers where, you know, it's the lines are blurred on, you know, what they throw and is it a slider or curveball. But no, you're right. We don't see many guys who throw the curveball the way that Charlie Morton does. Now, not many pitchers have been able to throw a curveball the way that Charlie Morton throws a curveball. But, yeah, I mean, for him to throw the curveball more than any other pitch, that's not something we really see. And it's honestly, if you think about it, it's been really recent where we have seen starting pitchers throw a pitch other than a fastball as their most used pitch. So they're really, you know, you go back however many years you want, there aren't many starting pitchers who lean on a curveball as their primary pitch. Yeah. Certainly not the way that Charlie Morton does.
Jared, looking at this lineup and, you know, the guys, it's just like Semien and Seager and Adolis Garcia. And it's like, why isn't this team producing more? Are we warming up to the idea that 2023's World Series was a fluke or was it a peak? Or, you know, is it just that young guys like Young and Evan Carter played great and then the league caught up with them? And, you know, it was just a matter of time before they regressed and we're lucky that they got a World Series out of it.
Yeah, you know, combination maybe. You know, maybe young guys. Obviously, listen, I'll say this with Evan Carter. He had a two-month stretch that was just – he was rolling and was riding that wave. I think that we all thought really highly of Evan Carter, and I still think there are people who feel like Evan Carter can be a big-time impact player, but I don't know that it was fair to expect him to do it right away. you know, in last year, but last year was obviously, you know, went in the total opposite direction. Josh Jung, here's the reality, Gavin. You can ask that question, and I can sit here and you know, play the other side, but there's a valid argument to, you know, the basically what you're suggesting with that question. I think last year there were a lot of people that were kind of making fun of the Rangers after winning the World Series, or their defense mechanism was, it was a fluke. And last year was the year to show them, shut up, you're wrong. But they didn't. So now this year was kind of the year where it was like, all right, well, one year they won it, the next year they didn't even make the playoffs. Which one's more accurate? And well, right now, as we stand, I mean, it would be tough in, you know, if there was sports court, right? If there was sports court and, you know, I was the lawyer for, hey, last year, 2023 wasn't a fluke, it would be a little bit of a tougher case right now. So, you know, maybe it was a combination of guys with career years taking advantage of things going their way, and they deserve credit for that, right? There shouldn't be an asterisk or anything behind that, but maybe that's what it was. But obviously, you know, the hope and the expectation was that that wasn't the case, and that 2023 was more reality and 2024 was more of a fluke. But right now, I mean, it obviously, based on the results on the field, it would be tough to make a definitive argument against that.
Jared, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
All right, fellas. Thank you.
He's at Jared Sandler on Twitter. He's brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing here in the G-Bag Nation. We got to hit the C-note, Cowboys news of the evening. Plus, I want to talk about this Nikola Jokic story coming out of Denver with the owner talking about possibly trading him. What's up with that? And we'll do everything here. Round the Bases coming up at 4:40, pregame at 5 o'clock, and we're back here to the
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Back Nation. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. Time for the C-note. I'm going to get in some Cooper Flagg talk because he's going to become a Mav tomorrow. And there's pretty big news out of Denver that's just made this conversation even more interesting. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Yeah, Cody Bradford out for the year. That's been the biggest local story here. And then the biggest national story, there's, you know, a couple of contenders as we get set for Mavs Rangers baseball coming up at 5 o'clock. But, yeah, the Nuggets and Jokic, it's Josh Kroenke, son of Stan, who I guess is the boss over there now or the governor. But the angle is he was talking about how if things could go wrong for Denver with an injury to the wrong player, he would have to consider what he believes to be an unthinkable, which is trading Jokic. You know, he said trading number 15. So I think the angle around Flag is a gift that you want to take advantage of before he gets paid. Because once you start paying those superstars, it's hard to put together the supporting cast. But it's similar now, isn't it, that in the NFL, when you have a quarterback that gets paid, everything changes as far as the salary cap and how that pie gets split up. Wrong guy gets hurt, we could end up trading Jokic. That's that thing where the NBA has a choice to make, whether do we want to have a supporting cast, do we want to have our superstar player, or do we want to be profitable? And what he's telling you right now is if he gets hurt and we're not contenders and there's not people tuning into our games, we wouldn't be profitable. We'd have to give up our best player. I don't think this is the model that the NBA wants.
No.
The model wanted to stop superstars from aggregating on teams and taking away the legacy of a Dirk or a Kobe all with the same team for but the unintended consequence is you've made it difficult for teams to keep their own superstars, even one, right, and remain profitable. I didn't imagine that it was to that extent, but I do think the NBA has a major problem on their hands with team building and how they've altered the economy in a way that has some unintended consequences, I believe. Like, if the Nuggets have to trade Jokic, it's one thing if we can't keep Porter and Jamal Murray, you know? If we can't keep Jokic, that's insane.
It's crazy. And last year, they didn't want to go to that second apron to keep Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. So, I mean, it's interesting because earlier on, just reading what he was saying, he said, we're not scared of the second apron. And then kind of just threw out there like, yeah, but if the wrong guy gets hurt, you know, God forbid, the unthinkable, we'd have to trade number 15. It's like, okay, why even say that? It's just, it's absolutely bizarre. But I do think when the NBA has an opportunity to opt out of this current collective bargaining agreement, they're going to do so.
Yeah.
Based on ratings and problems like this.
Yeah, yeah. So get that championship early with Cooper Flagg, and then I'd say get to work building around him, because what Flagg is going to need is exactly what Flagg is right now. He is a young guy coming in that might play all-star caliber ball, mm-hmm. maybe even better, and for the first 3 or 4 years, he's going to be, you know, making a fraction of what he should. So, you know, as Flagg moves into his prime, then the job has to be, how do we get these draft picks back? And hopefully it's not trading a P.J. Washington and a Gafford and a Lively. It's trading Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving to give Flagg that same opportunity to have young players coming into the game as he hits his prime.
I asked somebody in the Mavs organization about this, about the potential of trading. Would Nico, I know we brought this up earlier in the show, and my guy over there was like, listen, only he would trade him only if AD asked out.
Okay.
That's the only way. Because
that's the loyalty to him.
Yeah.
That speaks to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, he would not trade him on his own to try and recoup the picks. My guy said, no, he's only if AD asked to go will he.
Yeah,
trade
like
him.
I don't see him being moved if Nico's still here.
Yeah. Time now for the C note here. Cowboys news of the evening. Let's go to NFL.com. Ranking each division by starting quarterback quality. Where do you think the NFC East would come in here?
Starting quarterback quality.
Well, I think you got two really good ones, I'm sure, that most people would look at, and Jaden Daniels and then Jalen Hurts just won a Super Bowl. Dak is, you know, a top 15 quarterback, depending on what list you're going to look. Some have him in the top 10 still, some have him really low. So I'd say third.
You nailed it. Yes. Okay, AFC East comes in fourth. With now Fields joining Allen, Tua, and Drake May. That might be a division on the rise. Yeah. But, yes, Cowboys and the rest of the NFC East coming in fourth with they're giving it to Russell Wilson.
Is AFC North number one?
AFC West is number one.
Oh, AFC West.
North is probably being the AFC. Yeah. NFC North
two. Depending on with Rodgers. That's what I was thinking.
Right. I mean, because Burrow and Lamar, obviously.
Yeah, I was thinking Burrow, and then you throw.
But you don't know what the hell you got in Cleveland.
Man, they come in fourth, but to your point, that could be number one. I mean, if you add Rodgers to that, and Rodgers plays well along with Burrow and Jackson, but they only rank Rodgers as the number 22 quarterback.
That's understandable.
They got Dak at 19th, even lower than Pro Football Focus. Yeah, wow. Dak's actually weighing it quite a bit down, and Russell Wilson at number 23. NFC West is number two with Murray, Stafford, Purdy, Darnold. That's pretty good. Everybody inside the top 17 there, and then the AFC West. With, I mean, they got Mahomes at number seven. Mahomes taking a little shot here. I mean, his Super Bowl performances have left a little something to be desired, even though they've won a number of them. Like, he's got two games where they were basically totally incompetent offensively, but number seven's way low.
It's just kind of crazy. Like, that dude has never not played in a conference championship when he's been starting.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
The stats aren't there. But hey, the stats weren't there for Aikman either.
The greatest stat is winning.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's, I'd be flexing all those wins.
Luke Schoonmaker's days in Dallas could be numbered. That's the headline from InsideTheStar.com. Unless he can prove himself, they say he's getting pushed there from the depth chart, including Span, Ford, and Fant. I thought we saw enough from Schoonie in the second half of last year that I definitely want to put off this decision 12 months.
I'll tell you what, I would be surprised. I can understand the Span, Ford love, but he needs to be more comfortable catching the football. We'll see that when we get to Oxnard. And Fant, I don't see that one. I don't. I'm the guy that also was a champion for Schoonmaker. I'm not saying that. If someone's going to beat Schoonmaker out, great. I totally get that. But it Span Ford, they really do like him a lot, but he's got to do a better job of getting himself in position to catch football.
It's crazy because he had like 45 catches 1 year at Minnesota.
Yeah, and every one of them are contested.
Are they?
Yeah, he's not going to separate from me.
He's not going to separate. Kind of body.
So see, if he's that's what I'm saying. He has to get back to, and you got to almost put the ball right on him for him because he just can't adjust with his hands.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, Schoonmaker, I will say this, when he was playing for Ferguson, when Ferguson was dealing with the knee concussion, all those things, I think there were some things where Schoonmaker was making some progress.
He showed that he was actually an NFL player. It was a big step for him.
Blogging the Boys included him, though, in their piece of three Cowboys facing make or break seasons.
Schoonmaker, break? Oh, yeah.
I'd look at it that way for sure.
Yeah, he's in there.
With the other two being Mazi Smith and Trayvon Diggs. I think Diggs already knows he's gone, and I think that's part of what explains his absence. It'd be really tough to try to come in to work for somewhere where they kind of want to move on from you. The general manager had been talking about you. You know, and maybe you feel like no matter what I do, they're not going to want me. But then you juxtapose that with the fact that he's got to play great in order to get paid. If the Cowboys do end up moving on from him, you know, next March, which at this point I would bet is going to happen, right? This is going to be Trayvon Diggs' last season.
He's healthy.
I know you thought that he would be gone.
Yeah. I didn't think he'd be here right now if he didn't get hurt.
Well, there's a medical guarantee, you know, that is probably the main reason that they didn't move on from him now. And I think next offseason, it's a small hit, like a $6 million cap hit, and they could move on from him. Very unfortunate. I think you look at the reasons why the Cowboys have been unable to accomplish more. It's, you know, injuries to guys like Diggs. We were thinking, you know, worst case scenario with Diggs was, hey, this guy can't cover great. He doesn't tackle, but boy, you're going to get somewhere between 4 and 8 picks a year out of this guy. Sure. You can live with the downside, but the real downside ended up, you know, obviously being the injuries here. Pro Football Focus spotlighting two Cowboy position battles among the NFL's most intriguing this preseason. You got running back?
Yep.
And, you know, obviously that one's big. I don't know. You could end up with two or three backs better than Rico Dowdle, or you could end up with nobody better than Rico Dowdle.
Yeah. Very true.
It's really going to come down, in my opinion. We talked again about this on Love of the Star, about the running back situation, and is Blue going to be able to pick up the offense quickly enough? You know, that's we'll be able to see that in Oxnard. If there's any kind of struggles and they're not playing him, and they're all going, why aren't they going to play Blue? Why aren't they playing Blue? Maybe someone will saddle up to you and say, well, Blue needs to learn the plays. And so I think that's the only thing that can hold him back. So hopefully when we get to Oxnard, because we didn't see it here in the OTAs and the mini camps and stuff like that. We need to see him actually at training camp. That's where we'll get a good idea.
What makes you point that out? Do you hear that he doesn't have a good grasp?
No, I just, you know, we were starting to hear about all the other running backs. Yeah. We were starting to hear that, oh, look, Sanders got shoes. And Williams is this and that and the other. And then I go to a Wednesday practice and they're using CeeDee Lamb in the backfield. They're using Turpin in the backfield. I'm thinking, wait a minute, isn't this kind of stuff that Blue needs to be doing? Doesn't he need to be in the backfield? And
what's the role for him? Is it just, you know, other stuff?
I would hope that they find a way to get the guy being a starter.
Yeah, towards the season he needs to get the reins.
Because there's going to be a time where it's not going to look fast enough, unless Miles Sanders turns back the clock a little bit.
And this offense desperately needed a guy that could take the ball and make things happen.
He can absolutely. Don't have anybody else with his skill set.
Absolutely. But if he doesn't know what he's doing, and that's the only thing I think that holds him back. If we get out to Oxnard and he's not picking up the offense, that's the only thing that could slow him down.
You think ball security will take care of itself?
I think
maybe just some bad luck.
I hope so.
I think so. I'm more worried, like I say, about the things that, like, him learning the stuff.
That's have so much respect for Sarkisian and offensive mind. If you didn't trust Blue more, now you got options. But so I guess it's a similar situation to what Tony Pollard had coming out of college. Okay, then defensive end was the other position that Pro Football Focus looked at as far as compelling position battles. I mean, they do got them stacked up like your guy Parcells used to say, Brian.
Club sandwiches.
This is an official pass rusher club sandwich. I feel like they're going to be fresh and coming in waves. And it doesn't really matter who starts because all of them are going to get a chance to compete. And all of them have something that they're going to bring to the table that's going to ask big questions. I mean, as a tackle, you're dealing with Micah or you're dealing with Dante Fowler. And then here come in more guys that are quick and fresh in the fourth quarter. I think if you're playing with a lead, it's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, playing with a lead. That's the whole key right there. How can you find a way to make teams very one-dimensional? That's your best chance.
DallasCowboys.com is doing 20 questions to camp. And today's was, do you see a different role for Kevontae Turpin than what he's done so far?
I had to laugh to myself because I remember working with the Cowboys for all those 8 years.
Yeah.
It was always Nick Eatman did a great job. Nick's probably listening right now. He goes, we need to come up with 20 questions, one a day. That's our content. You know, Nick was so content-minded, and so you came up with, each one of us had to come up with a question for this. So what was the question?
Like, what else do you think they would do with Kevontae Turpin? Do you think they'll use him differently? Him out of the backfield some. He'll probably play in the slot a little bit. I don't think he's an outside guy. Can they get the ball quickly to him on a slant that you saw him be able to take it to the house against Houston? Yeah. You know, things like that. I mean, I don't know.
He's a better catcher than I thought he was.
He is. I don't know about him winning down the field because of his size. Yeah. That's one thing I don't think he's ever proven.
He just got Pickens for.
Right.
Yeah, clear him out.
And Ferguson, hopefully, is well over the middle. But just get him the ball in space and let him go.
Yeah.
All righty. It is the G-Bag Nation C-Note every afternoon at about 3:20 here in the G-Bag Nation. We'll be on that all the way until and through training camp. Now, proper round tripper coming up next. We'll check.
Yeah, what do you like to listen to or watch while you work out? And we got to get to this audio of the Thunder reporter that just stole the day. That's next. And then
this podcast is powered by Men's T Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Nation.
Welcome back, Nation. Hope you're having a great day. It's Rangers baseball coming up at 5 o'clock. Paul Biancardi, ESPN, is going to join us to talk NBA draft tomorrow at 3. It'll be Cooper Flag Day here on The Fan. Here's Wolchuk to wrap it up.
All right, so we'll get to bases here in just a minute. Oklahoma City, they had just a raucous parade going down there in OKC. I don't know if
That's crazy. Like 10 years ago, they seemed like the most intense fan base in the league.
Yeah.
Around KD and Harden and Westbrook, like the parties they would throw for away games to watch it on the big screen outside of their arena looked bigger 10 years ago than what they just did for a parade. It's weird.
It was bizarre. I mean, the helicopter views, I mean, it looked like there really weren't a lot of people. It looked pretty empty.
Do you think they spread it out too much?
Maybe.
I kind of feel like that. It's funny. They were showing like shots of the crowd. And they were doing the real close to the. There was no wide shot. I mean, I didn't see
the one wide shot I saw was bad.
But when you're really, really tight to the crowd, like you're running along the, you know, just looking at the crowd, it's kind of like there's like two or three rows of people. You know?
But I think that also draws to why it's going to be difficult for the Thunder to keep this contender together long enough to be a dynasty. They just don't have enough people.
I mean,
that was 68 wins and a championship that the team had been waiting for a long time. This has been building for at least 5 years since the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander acquisition was 6 years ago. You know, and to have that sort of a flop for your championship parade, I'm sure everybody up there is having a blast.
Oh, absolutely.
They should have scheduled that for a Saturday afternoon or something like that. Saturday at 2, fellas. Everybody come on out.
Yeah, Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
But I was trying to eyeball it. Like, I don't know if 30,000 people?
There's probably no arrest, right? We didn't have any arrest. Unruliness or anything like that.
I didn't hear anything Sunday night, like celebration-wise. Normally, you get something.
It's kind of crazy.
You're not greasing the poles there in OKC, I guess.
Did you see how the players kind of celebrated? It's like they really weren't sure.
They just went. They didn't know what to do.
This was
amazing.
They're like a really young team that really doesn't know how to, like, they needed a veteran in there.
Jalen Williams.
They needed Dennis Rodman in there to help them celebrate.
Caruso's got to show them how to pop the champagne bottles. None of them knew how to do it.
Yeah.
And I get it.
They left
a lot
of, like, the Mick Ultra. They left a lot of it just, they didn't even spray it.
Well, so Jalen Williams, I guess, was his first time ever drinking, is what he was saying. He said, I told the guys if we win it all, I'll drink. So he's sipping the Michelob Ultra. And we all remember the first time we taste beer. You're like, for me, that's disgusting.
Had to force it down there for a while.
Then he asked, and
Mick
Ultra's tequila?
Like water, though.
Yeah, true. But even for him, he's like, take this away from me. But the Thunder reporter, this lady that, she was doing this for Oklahoma City. They featured it on NBA TV as they did the live look-in. Got a couple of cuts here. This is the Larry O'Brien Trophy getting pretty close.
Right here, right here, right here. Right here, right here, right here. Right here. fantastic. Oh, look at this, guys. It's pure love. Yay, Jay Will. He's lost his bus.
She's fanning out.
She really is.
Yeah.
And here comes another Thunder bus. Oh, my goodness. Oh, there's Isaiah right in the ground. He's doing his little dance.
This dude's dance.
Oh, that looks fantastic. I am about to fall off this ramp. I promise you. Here he is, giving high fives.
There he is. Oh, my gosh. It's here. It's here. The Larry O'Brien. Let me touch it.
It's not like me at the Rangers parade.
Oh, you were way better than that.
I mean, yeah, I was like,
this
okay.
lady, you weren't fanboying.
No, I did. When I saw Chris Young, Drunken Brian pushed Jared out of the way to get to Chris Young.
Man.
I want to shake your hand.
I did.
Shake your hand.
I did.
Let me shake it.
Chris looked at me like, bro, you're just like really intoxicated.
Okay.
I'm like, no, I'm okay. I'm all right.
You let me know. Was this? Yeah.
500,000 fans is the estimate from Oklahoma City's police department.
Good
so
for them.
I think
good
it was spread out.
Good
I think they had a long parade route. Yeah. Like the Rangers was just a lap around.
Yeah.
You know, where we could all pack it in.
We don't want to just completely bleep on OKC. All right. Here's one more clip of this reporter just fangirling over Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
They're following. I think it's SGA.
Is it SGA?
It is. He's right behind the porta potty. There he is.
There he is. SGA.
Oh my gosh. Robin, we could get SGA.
Let's see if he'll come. All right. Here we go.
Oh my gosh, he's right behind the porter body.
Pause.
Just incredible.
Yes, that puts the picture in the frame up a little bit.
Oh man, I loved it. All right, we got Rangers baseball tonight. I don't care what Jared says about this Charlie Morton having two good games. Charlie Morton is 40 years old. This dude is, he's pitching out of necessity for Baltimore. They got to get it going tonight. The bats have to get it going or else we'll see what kind of mood I come in tomorrow for a hump day. Mm-hmm. Bleacher Report has ranked the most improved player on every MLB roster. We go to your Texas Rangers in the American League West. There hasn't been a ton of improvement, but it is a pitcher. And it might just be an improvement because we haven't seen him pitch yet. It's Tyler Mahle. Over the previous 8 seasons, Mahle had a 4.32 ERA. His 2021 campaign with Cincy, the only productive or healthy one to date. But after he missed dang near all of the past 2 seasons, 14 starts, 2.34 ERA as he's co-anchored with DeGrom, Evo, who's coming back, the best rotation in baseball. So they're certainly the bright spot's been the pitching. There's no doubt about that. But
yeah, we need Seager to fix this thing tonight. This is, we have now reached the point where it's got to happen now. I think it's been better, Wolchuk. Like, if we were taking stock of, hey, how are you feeling about the Rangers right now? It's no longer one of the worst 5 offenses. They're scoring, you know, closer to 4 runs per game. Mm. But
the pitching's starting to sail a little bit. Yeah.
Well, see, that, and you're starting to lose touch
coming.
Of Houston.
Yeah.
Houston's 7.5 up now. We're like one bad weekend away from double digits.
Yeah.
And that, so I think this is the time where it's got to happen.
I agree with you. That's why I'm like, guys, tonight they've got to hit because you're right. Houston's starting to pull away. Yeah. And you can kind of feel a little shakiness, which I think is inevitable over the course of a season. No matter how good your pitching's been, there's going to be a rough patch. And you've got to have your bats then to say, hey, you guys have carried us this far. We're now going to get you out of this slump for 2 weeks or whatever the hell it's going to be. And your offense is able to then propel and carry the team. So far, they're at least getting runners on. Now it's about getting runners across. So you've taken a step to where it's like you're not just, I mean, last night was a 3-hit game. I mean, that was absolutely ridiculous. Trevor Rogers, I can't tell if he was dialed or just the Rangers suck so bad at the plate right now. But tonight against Charlie Morton, this should be a better opportunity.
It was a bit of a reality check, though. I mean, these last 2 nights after, you know, bouncing back the first 2 games in Pittsburgh and then Sunday and then yesterday, that's one. But, you know, this is reality where Patrick Corbin is more like a guy who's going to have an ERA close to 5.5 or 6. And, you know, Jack Leiter on Sunday, a guy who's still figuring out what it takes to be consistent. So what I'm seeing is the pendulum is swinging towards reality with your pitching staff. Now it's got to swing to reality with your offense if we're going to get back in this thing.
Let's pray. Yandy Diaz, my gosh, this dude's one of the strongest players in all of Major League Baseball. But MLB.com had a story about him. And before he works out, what does he like to do? He watches Tom and Jerry.
Yeah.
When I'm working out, I always like to try and watch Tom and Jerry for like an hour. It clears my mind. It relaxes me. I mean, I think we're all listening to something. But watching Tom and Jerry, he said, to me, Tom and Jerry is the best. Nothing else comes close. That's the only thing that I want to watch.
I think, for me, like Eminem's greatest hits, just that angst, you know?
Gets
that,
you going.
That might be what I'm looking for.
You need something.
Like on a long Peloton ride, you know, where they actually need to get up in your saddle for the eighth time in the last 10 minutes, and you feel like you're going to die. A little bit of that.
Maybe do a little, you know, let the bodies hit the floor.
Absolutely. White zombie.
Something that is freaking crazy.
Yeah, but it's got to be intense, yeah. You know, one way or another. Whatever genre of music that
just
might be.
Get yourself fired up, ready to rock. We did just get Whit Merrifield. He has retired from Major League Baseball. Congratulations on a great career. And Cal Raleigh continues to be one of the stories. I mean, unfortunately, he's in the AL West, but he hit his 32nd home run.
My God.
The catcher for the Mariners. They win 11-2.
He had like 8 or 9 home runs late in April. I remember the first time the Rangers played the Mariners, and I was like, apparently we got to be on the lookout for Cal Raleigh because this guy's hitting like every other pitch for a home run. Yeah. And then he hit like 4 that series against the Rangers. Yeah. And yes. Since then, he has not cooled off.
No. He's hit 17 homers in the last 30 games.
My gosh.
He's been absolutely unbelievable. I mean, he's honestly on an MVP pace. Unfortunately, you have Aaron Judge. But Cal Raleigh's been absolutely unreal. So all of a sudden we thought Seattle couldn't hit. Cal Raleigh's fixing that problem.
That's one of those players that you need. You need to find one of those guys to give you that player at first base mm-hmm. that can be a threat for 50 bombs. And you feel like going into a season 35 or 40 is there. And, you know, that stinks because he was another one of those players that kind of came out of nowhere and has given the Mariners life offensively.
Been really good.
But the Astros are playing winning baseball now, and the Rangers have now fallen a half game behind the Angels, and the only thing good about that is you love to see anything good happen for Ron Washington. Yeah. Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup over there, Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh. Just went 3 flawless once again. He's just getting it done day after day, stuck on automatic. Thanks to Carter Freeman coordinating your video. You can watch us every day at 105throughthefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. Salute to everybody streaming us. Please like the video before you get on out of here. Help us grow just a little bit. Of course, Sean and RJ will be back tomorrow morning, bright and early, to get your sports day started. And it's going to be an incredible day. I mean, Cooper Flagg is going to be drafted to the Mavericks organization tomorrow. We look forward to talking about it with you. Thanks to Woolchuck and Broadus. I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation. At ease.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.